Welcome back to Raw Vegan Lens. I'm your host, Sherry Michelle. Let's go. This is day 21 of my juice feast. And day 20 was hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat this for a second. I'm having so much anger. Not as much today. I wanted to eat so badly yesterday. I had to take some things and put them in the dumpster in the alley because I just could not deal. Gabe's gotten really picky about his food. Not really picky, but just he says everything seems mushy. And I'm like, you love mush. How many times have you asked me to make banana bread at midnight? He's like, I know. And I was like, well, do you miss eating meat? Is that the problem? Like, you miss, like, you know, can I get you some vegetables for your hummus? You know, I mean, I'm trying to work with what he does want. But today I just told him on the way to take him to the office, like, he has a full day at the office, which means I have a full day at the office, like in the car or in the lobby. I said, you know, I just don't understand why you don't do raw vegan with me. Like, I would stop the juice fast and I could make meals for both of us, delicious meals. You've seen my books, Alyssa's books. You know, the books that I uncook from, you know, you've tasted some of it. You know it's delicious. And I know that you could stop this from getting worse. Like, it's worse today than it was yesterday. So we're just doing the goddamn cha-cha here. One step forward, one step back. One step forward, two steps back. You know, he has to go up a ton of stairs on these crutches because the elevator at his office is broken. They said they fixed it. Still not working. He does it. He doesn't complain. I know it's really hard and it makes his foot swollen. Meanwhile, I'm a pack mule. I'm carrying 4 bags up and one of his crutches. And I'm using the one crutch, you know, because I'm so loaded down with, you know, his lunch and the urinal and just everything that he needs for a day at the office, his laptop and all of that. I'm sorry. I'm so negative right now. I'm not a nurse. If I wanted to be a nurse, I would have become a nurse. Like, I'm doing everything I can. You know, I said to him the other day, I feel like we got a pretty good system down, really. And he was kind of just like, nah. And so later I was like, do you not think that do you think I'm not doing like everything that I can think of? What more can I do? And he's like, no, I'm sorry. I know you're doing everything you can. I mean, seriously, all I could read to him, I guess, or spoon feed him. Seriously. Like, I know this is happening for a reason, but the timing of my juice feast with this, it's hard to see right now from this vantage point. I guess it would be worse if I was on cooked food. Like, I would be stress eating so much. Like, as it is right now, I just have to sit with the feelings. Like, I honestly don't know what to do with this anger. I've tried breathing through it. I've tried meditating. I'm going to have to write it all out, I think, because my mind can't seem to stop going ahead where I can't see any end in sight with this. He's calling the physical therapist today, finally. He should have done that like 2 weeks ago. But he said he's doing it today. I don't know. The conversation this morning was, I know that we could keep this from getting worse. I didn't say heal it, but I know we could heal it. I'm sure of it, but I didn't say that. And I said, I know you think that raw vegan doesn't heal anything. And he goes, I didn't say that. And I said, well, you've seen me turn healing pain up and down. I actually said pain. I should have been specific. Both Kara and I were able to turn healing pain up and down, not just like regular pain, but like pain that you have when you know, like your body's healing something. It's like a detox pain. I had it in my back. She had it in her abdomen. And both times we were able to turn that pain off within 15 minutes by increasing the fat while we were on raw vegan. I said, that's powerful. It is. It's really powerful. Like that's powerful knowledge. But the pain he's dealing with right now, we could at least get it to calm down. And it could start to heal because he would be, you know, it's not like he's eating fast food or anything. He's cut out all the bread. What does he have in his lunch today? So I checked, you know, inflammation on all of the foods, of course, that I did in the big grocery haul for him. So he has he has two low carb wraps, like spinach, kind of keto friendly wraps, with salad in them. One Caesar with the crumbs left out, and one that was I read it as miso and it wasn't. It was, I don't know. Anyway, it was another salad. It was kit. So he's two wraps. He has banana. He has grain-free cookies. He has the almond crackers and hummus. He has an Indian food packet and a long grain wild rice packet if he wants those, like to give him some variety. He's got a banana in there. I haven't even had my juice yet. That's the other thing. I'm pissed at myself because like I was in this mad dash this morning to like get all of the stuff ready to take him to the office for full day here, and I haven't even drank my juice yet. Like, why? That's so codependent and dysfunctional. I could have drank some juice. I could be drinking juice right now. But I put him first. Like, I would have been the most resentful mother. It's such a good thing I'm an aunt and love being an aunt more than anything in the world and not a mother, because I would have resented the fact that I was always putting everybody else first. I'm going to say a lot of shitty, shallow things today, I'm afraid, and please forgive me. Is it fair? Again, I keep coming back to this. He knows what he could do. Either he doesn't believe that raw vegan really works, or he just wants to have his goodies and be able to eat what he wants and have his beer still. He's not an alcoholic. I don't mean that. His craft beer with his buddies that he has, like, just, you know, he doesn't have beer every day. It's just a social thing with him, and it's a big part of their relationship. I get that. But I'm doing everything I can to heal myself right now. Like, I can't be holier than thou and up in my ivory tower looking down on him, because I've eaten a lot of crap too. But right now I'm doing everything I can, and it's hard. It's hard cooking someone else's every meal and schlepping around all their stuff so that they can get to work and everything. Now, he's also paying my bills right now because I can't work. Because I need to be there to help him, because he's still barely getting around on crutches. I'm angry at myself for putting myself in this situation, for not having savings. But, you know, I dug myself a hole of debt. I should say a deeper hole after Devin died, because I wanted everybody to have everything they needed, especially her brother, my nephew Brandon, and my niece Nikki. I overspent the whole year after she died and took him to Amsterdam. And, you know, like, I just needed everybody to be okay, and I needed to do everything I could to make sure everybody was okay. And not offing themselves because Devin isn't here, you know, that was a real possibility. Does money really fix that? I don't know. Doubtful. But now that's all, like, you know, I closed all my credit cards and did a debt repayment plan, and, you know, that's all squared away and I'm paying on it. Well, Gabe is paying on it this month. I hate asking him for money. I absolutely hate it. But I don't know what else to do. Like, I borrowed against my life insurance. That's, you know, that went to bills. That's done. Like, I'm out of options here. So I have to ask him for money and I have to take care of him. And I want him to be better. This is putting a real strain on our relationship, though, because we already had an existing problem. And I'm not going to say what it is. It's private. It's personal. It would not be fair to him. Some addictions really, really affect a relationship. And now it's become a moot point with age, I guess. But I still feel resentful about it and bitter. And that's really coming up the last 2 days. And I just have to sit with those feelings. And then I have the anger at myself for being in this position. I have anger with him for not even wanting to try raw vegan, at least for now. At least try it. He didn't even truthfully try the juice. He did it with coffee, and which I told him, this is acidic. You're just, you know, you're backpedaling here. And then, you know, that didn't even last 3 days. I think he did juice for 3 days, but he did other stuff with it. And I know I've fallen off the wagon a zillion times in the last, you know, 18 years that I've been trying to be raw vegan. But he'd done a juice fast before for 10 days with coffee. But, you know, it's just unbelievably frustrating that he won't even try it. We could be doing it together. I said, I could be making amazing meals. You know I could. Like, oh God, people are going to yell outside the car right now. Go away. I just feel like I need to join a kickboxing class or something, but that's not in the budget right now. I'm going to have to start walking every morning, like getting up really early and walking to get my mind in a good place, because it's really hard for me to meditate right now. I expected it to be so much easier because I was juice feasting, but with all of this stress, it's just not. Deep breathing helps, but just for a little bit, you know? And the envelope thing, you know, that side hustle, they're so backed up, the casinos are, with the payouts, that it's taking a ridiculously long time. So it's just like, you're just paying for stamps and supplies and stamps and supplies, envelopes, pens, 3x4x6 cards. Just, you know, these are the things that you need to mail in the envelopes. And everybody's talking in the Discord about how behind these companies are. So that's very frustrating on top of it all. So I have no income coming in. And I just feel trapped. And what was the old name of this podcast? Raw Nomadic Lens. Freedom is the main theme in this lifetime for me. I was told this when I was 19 and had my birth chart, my astrological birth chart done for the first time. And, sadly, he is in the hospital right now. I hope he's going to be okay. I don't know what happened. I just got an email from his assistant. Anyway, yeah. Drew Lawrence is the reason I believe in astrology, because that birth chart was so powerful And then when he did another one for me, just like 2 years ago, also very powerful, just incredibly interesting. So, freedom, it's huge to me. So important to me, and I just have so little. Last night I did 4 loads of laundry. And washed Chebby. She needed a bath. There's no sense in washing all of her blankets without giving her a bath. So it was a busy day yesterday. I didn't get a lot of work done, because I just was seething most of the day and I couldn't hide it. Like, I apologized several times for just being cranky. And there are things that I made for him that I thought were like, oh, this is really yummy. He would normally love this, you know, or he would love this. He'll love this. And he didn't want it. And I wanted it. Those were the things I had to, like, you know, take outside of the dumpster last night. I told him, if I don't take this outside and get rid of it, I'm going to eat it in the middle of the night. God, I wanted to eat everything yesterday. I don't know how mukbang came into my feed on YouTube when I'm always looking at, I'm watching Jillian Barry's interviews and juicing and raw vegan and tiny house stuff and nomadic channels. I don't know how mukbang got on there, but it was so interesting to me, the psychological aspect of Nikocado Avocado's whole YouTube journey and just how crazy he got. And then now he's fit again and seeming like such a nice guy. And he's claiming that this was all some big experiment, some social experiment. I don't buy that for a second, because he was like bawling in a bunch of his videos and just completely out of control and furious and raging and catty nasty, and now he's all sunshine and light, but he's still doing mukbangs with other mukbangers. And it's just, I've got to stop looking at that stuff. Like, I don't watch very much of the actual mukbangs, but I had started with watching the documentaries about them and like how many had died doing this and just their stories and how they evolved and or devolved. It is interesting. But now I've got that junk in my, you know, YouTube feed, and it's hard to stay away from. I took all social media off my phone. The only thing I have is YouTube now. So that was also, I think, a hard part of yesterday. I was detoxing from TikTok, but I had been on way too much, like just escaping from all of this pressure of caretaking 24/7 for the last 2 weeks. So I took it off my phone and took Instagram off my phone and Facebook off my phone. And so, yeah, it's really sitting with my feelings now. And that is very challenging. Thank you for listening to all of this. If you're listening to all this, I don't know why. It's such a Debbie Downer day. I'm really, really sorry about that. I needed to talk to someone about this, and I don't want to dump all over Erica because she's got her own life stress. And I say that and then like think immediately, like, Erica's listening to this. Erica, I'm sorry if I dump on you at all. But she's still raw vegan. I'm still juicing. We're getting each other through this stuff. And my trading buddy, who has MS, she is juicing right now. She did have some chicken nuggets yesterday, but, you know, she forgot her juice in the car. And I know how the, like, I know where she is. She doesn't have 24 years of raw vegan videos and books and podcasts. You know, she's just starting her journey. She's not even sure she wants to go vegan, but she's doing she said she'd do a 3-day juice fast, and she was very excited about it. So that's awesome. My battery's dying here. I gotta charge up. I mean, you know, how can you not just be supportive of that? So I am totally cheering her on. That all started because she wanted me to text her updates like I do with Erica. Just my, oh, and I forgot to set my alarms today to check in every hour. So I've missed a couple hours, but I checked in with them this morning. And you just got to start where you are. That's something I will say about this juicing. There are juicing coaches out there, pretty famous ones, who think you need all of these special things in place. Like $1,000 in savings to start a juice feast properly. Yeah, I'm not going to name names or anything. I am going to charge my phone. But I think that's a crock. There we go, charging up. I think it's a crock. I think it's a... whatever. I'm not going to criticize people. I am going to say what I believe. I believe you should start where you are. If that means that you are buying bottled organic juice for your first few days, or buying store-bought juice, or working with a cheap juicer, or... having to juice the same thing over and over and over again, or buy the same juice over and over again, or just, that's fine. Just start where you are. You know, nobody is on the same place in this journey. Nobody's in the same spot. Nobody has the same financial situation. Start where you are. I swear by an herbal tea at night. I need that oxytocin, that warmth in your hands and in your body. That feels like it's comfort, and it releases oxytocin. They have done studies. I need that. I need that at night. And I love, it's technically it's a tea, but it seems more like soup to me because of the flavors. It's an Arabic tea company called Al-Attar. You can get this tea on Amazon. It's cumin lemon tea. And as a tea, at first, the first time I had it, I was like, this is the worst tea I've ever tasted. But then when I started to think of it as soup, I was like, this tea is so good. And I absolutely love it at night. And last night was my last packet. So gotta get some more. But I am not sure if herbal tea, another, like, I don't know if that's considered herbal tea. I guess it is. It definitely doesn't have any caffeine in it. And that's how I classify herbal tea, whether that's right or wrong. I don't know. The key is the warmth. Having that warm beverage at night definitely helps me, helps calm me down, soothe me, comfort me. The oxytocin is great. It's just a little trick that I figured out, and I like it, and I don't see myself stopping anytime soon. So there's another thing. Like, you're going to figure out little things that help you. And I don't think you should have to wait until you have a grand in the bank to do a juice feast. I don't think you should have to do a gallon a day if you can't afford it. They actually recommend more than a gallon a day. But you know what you can afford. Just start where you are. Have some water in there, you know? Thin your juices out if you want to. It's your journey. No one died and made these people the god of juicing. Like, I'm grateful for all the information that everyone is sharing, but these, like, you have to do it this way and you're going to fail if you don't. It's ridiculous. Don't listen to it. It's not true. You decide. That's all I'm going to say on that. Yep, a little cranky. A lot cranky. So, Sherry, how are we going to turn this around? We're going to meditate. We're going to breathe. We're going to deep breathe through a lot of this. We're going to write. You didn't bring your notebook. True. But I do have my journal and my phone, so... But I really don't want to listen to myself. I don't want to go over all of this again. I guess talking to you guys is my journal right now, with this and all the feelings I'm having. You just don't think this is going to happen in your 50s. Like, I honestly don't see his knee getting any better. He doesn't see it getting any better. I mean, it's not throbbing, but it's just... He's still in pain and he can't walk on that foot. So he can't drive, can't get to work by himself. Like, that all requires like serious support here. So I just don't know how long this is going to go, and I'm going to have to make peace with that. I was in a place of peace and acceptance, but all that anger and resentment came up. And I just had to sit with it. Last night when I wanted to eat, like, so badly, I wanted to binge, frankly. I wanted to binge. But I also wanted freedom from feeling that. And I kept thinking about all the people in all the juicing interviews that Jillian Barry has done that say when it gets really hard, like, just push through because you're leveling up. And so that's what I wanted to do. And I believe they're right. This morning, my blood sugar's been in the 120s for this whole juice feast. It started at 250 when I went raw. So that was... gosh, it's been almost 30 days. But yesterday was at 123, today it's at 105. So I did level up in some respect, at least with reversing diabetes. So that's really good news. I'm above ground today. Any day above ground is a good day, right? I made a gratitude list yesterday. I'm going to have to make more gratitude lists. I'm going to have to meditate more. I'm going to have to breathe, deep breathe more. I'm going to have to make more gratitude lists. I'm going to have to journal more. I'm going to get through this. Who knew day 20 would be so hard? Yeah, I have my work cut out for me. I still feel like there's something more I can do to get rid of this anger, but, you know, there's things that are not resolved from the past that I'm clinging to, and I need to find a way to put that issue between us behind us. That dissatisfaction with that area of our relationship, and just neglect, full on neglect for 8 years. Until it was just no longer I just can't say any more on that. It is hard when you are fearing something, and that's exactly how it turns out. And now I've had two things in our relationship be like that, two huge things. I feared that if I really committed to getting clean and healthy with raw and juice, that he would not, and I would end up taking care of him. I said this to Kara years ago, back during the pandemic. This was a fear of mine, and now it's come to light. It's happening. And he's in his early 50s. I'm 54. He's going to be 52 next month. In our 50s, we're dealing with this. Like, you know, I look at his parents. They ate pretty healthy. Not vegan, but okay. You know, healthy is relative. They ate pretty clean, because his dad had a Whipple surgery. I don't know, 11, 12 years ago, maybe. So his mom was really diligent about, you know, I always felt like she made healthy meals. You know, they did salmon and chicken, but they didn't do like heavy meals at all. A lot of rice and vegetables, and she's a great cook, but now they're, you know, that's all out the window. Like I said, they're in a retirement community, so they're paying like huge, ridiculous money to be in this place, and the meals are included, so they feel they have to eat that. They don't go out very often to eat, or, you know, they don't cook at all, really, in their apartment, because they're paying so much for these meals down in the dining room, which they've said are not very good, and that their whole healthy eating thing is pretty much out the window, you know. So they watch a ton of TV now more than ever, and Gabe's just like them in that way. And they are the first to say, like, they joked one day about how Gabe was doomed because they are so lazy. And I just didn't think that was funny at all, because we have struggled with that. Like, I have a part of me, because the ADHD, that wants to be lazy sometimes and just not do anything. And he really feeds that, because he is like that every day. It's like his default setting. So I didn't have a TV before I lived with him. I didn't have a TV for 10 years because I knew it was addictive for me, and I was writing novels, and it just, I couldn't justify having it when it was wasting time that I could be spending writing. So when I look at his parents and all the surgeries they've had, knees and hips and Whipple and all of that, that's his gene pool. I'm not judging. Look at mine. My dad died at 56. I'm 54. Heart disease, lung cancer. He was a welder, a welding teacher, and an engineer. They think the house fire added to the whole lung cancer situation. I don't know. I know it was the terrain. If he, you know, if his inner terrain had been healthy, the cancer couldn't have taken hold. We all have cancer cells in us. But we didn't know any of that then. So my dad died very young. Heart disease, cancer, diabetes, amputee. My mother has been mentally ill my whole life, borderline personality disorder, a lot of dementia on that side of the family. Her body is really falling apart, arthritis, and she's had, what is that, autoimmune disease that you're sore to the touch. I can't think of it right now. It's on the tip of my tongue, but, yeah, so she's had that since I was in high school. She says she has heart problems now. I don't know. She's always said that though. Like, you don't know what's real with her, because she's got a problem with telling the truth, because she's borderline. So, She has breast cancer right now. So, yeah, my parents, not that it's a competition or comparison, but if we're looking at gene pools here and what we've got to overcome, they say genetics load the gun, diet pulls the trigger. You know, I knew though, like I've been working on this for a long time. He's just now starting to work on it because he has no choice. I mean, if he wants to walk again and have a normal life where he can walk and drive and get himself to the office. If this doesn't get better, he'll have to work from home. I don't know how that's going to work. I just can't even. We don't have the space for that. We would have to move if he was going to see clients at home from a home office. I'm just not going to go there. So I'm really hoping I get to go see my friend Kim and Galena. Just go hang out with her for a day. That's on the 21st. So 9 days from now. I don't think it's gonna, I don't want to say it. It's really gonna take some big changes for him to be any better 9 days from now. Oh my God, I've got to drink some juice. I'm starving. Thank you for being here with me, for me, during this really difficult time. It means a lot. It means a lot just to talk to somebody about this and know that you can turn it off at any time if it's too annoying. Knowing that you can do that is a great comfort to me. Isn't that weird? It's a good thing this isn't monetized, right? Me encouraging you to turn it off at any time because it's just too annoying to be dumped all over. But it does help sometimes to talk through it. And I know I sound really selfish. But it's not just that I was told freedom is the theme for me in this lifetime. I feel it. I need my freedom. I need to travel. I need to pay my own bills and I'm not a therapist. Again, this is super shitty to say, but it is the truth. I did not want to be tied down by other people's problems. I'm completely tied down by the result of his choices right now. And I'm completely aware of the fact that this could have happened to either one of us. It's such a bizarre thing. He never once in 10.5 years has complained about knee pain. And just like one night, that's not true. He had gout spread up to his knee from his foot once. One time. It was like a year ago. But this arthritis, they just came out of nowhere overnight. And going by what I've seen in videos, he's at like stage 4 in this process. I think he has a very low pain threshold. That's not a judgment. That sounds super judgy, but I know him. So maybe he's at a 3. And he does say, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, the pain's at like a 4. But why are we so stuck? Like, he can't walk on that foot at all. He has to a little bit to get up those stairs, and it just aggravates everything. And focus on yourself, Sherry. Just stay inside your own damn hula hoop. I can't fix this for him. You can't help somebody who doesn't want to help themselves. I've just got to focus on keeping myself happy and continuing on this juice feast, because I don't want to end up like that. Like, seeing this light shone on this arthritis of his, you know, really, I said before, like, it really makes me face the fact that I have arthritis. I have it in my fingers. I can see it with the knobs. And I have it in my back because I was told by the doctor at the airport, at United's doctor, when he took the x-rays. And I just didn't want to believe it. I just didn't want to think about it or believe it, but it's true. Of course it is. Like, my back started acting up during the pandemic when I was doing the book stuff again in Hawaii. And it just, like, it's something that the pain comes and goes, but I'm gonna do everything I can to shut it down. Like, can you heal osteoarthritis with raw vegan? I don't see why not. You know, if you can heal a dural tear in your brain by water fasting at True North, why can't you heal arthritis? Some arthritis is autoimmune, and some is a breakdown of joints. And I know the doctor said I had some bone spurs in my spine. But there's no reason why that stuff can't heal. I just don't see any reason why I can't heal that. So as long as I keep doing what I'm doing. I listened to Sarah Erica's, one of her interviews by Jillian Barry yesterday for some inspiration, motivation again, and she juiced for 366 days. She was told to get her affairs in order. She was so sick. She hadn't eaten, and she couldn't eat really for years. Sometimes she said she would have a lollipop. Like, she couldn't keep food down. She was in a wheelchair. She couldn't walk to her mailbox. But she didn't get her affairs in order. She got her life in order. She juice fasted for 366 days. And on the 366th day, she ran a 5K. That's incredible. Check that out if you have time. She has two great interviews with Jillian Barry. And it's so inspiring. And you know you heal faster on a juice feast than you do on raw, because you're not digesting the food, so you have more energy for healing. There's no fat, so that's more energy for healing. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm really psyched that my blood sugar was down to 105. That's awesome. That's so close to being below 100, which is my goal. And then I just got to keep it there, which is super easy, barely an inconvenience. Super easy doing juice. So I'm feeling ready though to get the Namajay too. As soon as I have some income. I just don't see how. I just have to have faith. Like, when am I going to be able to work again? I hate feeling trapped and dependent. I'm just so locked into this. You know, he's my best friend. He's the person that knows me the best. We've been together for 10.5 years. We did break up twice for about 2 months each time because I couldn't deal with this issue, his addiction, you know? It's an unfortunate combination of addictions. My addiction was food, his addiction was something else, and I knew that was going to be a problem going into the relationship. And we just wanted different things. Maybe I should have left or not gotten back together. I don't know. I do know that every time I ask my dowsing rods, which is my higher self, or my pendulum, if we should stay together, the answer is yes. It's always freaking yes. And I don't understand. Except that maybe this is a big life lesson for me to stick it out, to stay, to, you know, I'm such a loyal person. I really, really am. I'm a Leo. I'm super loyal. But this is hard. Like, we're buddies. I'm just going to say it. We're buddies. I tell him that I love him. We said it last night. But he hasn't felt like a romantic partner in a very long time. I say a lot of things because I know it's what I'm supposed to say in the relationship. I know it's what he needs to hear. I know it's what a good partner is supposed to say and do. I do care about him. I do love him. Man, people, relationships are not easy. We've had a lot of laughs. We've had a lot of fun. He's a very sweet person. He's a good person. He's a therapist. He's kind. He's thoughtful. He's very funny. He's also very stubborn and set in his ways. And he has a lot of shame, he says, about being lazy. He's not adventurous. He loves to stay in his comfort zone. I mean, he will travel abroad. He does like to travel abroad, maybe once a year or something, but he has his limits as far as, I don't know, it sets him off sometimes. Traveling, at least we can laugh about it later, but he always has a big meltdown on trips abroad. So I know it's like way out of his comfort zone. I appreciate that he leaves his comfort zone. I prefer to live outside my comfort zone. I prefer to learn new things and see new things all the time. I am a nomad at heart. I just don't see how this relationship goes forward without me sacrificing everything that I am, everything that I wanted, my dreams to travel full time, you know, be a minimalist again. I'm going to be so angry if I'm tied down for the rest of my life. It's not the life I want. You know, I have a really good friend, my friend Karen, who left her husband and kids when her kids were still in school. And she has four kids, three or four. They're grown adults now, healthy, well-adjusted adults. Her husband is a very good friend. She thinks of him as another one of her kids, she says. Good relationships with all of them. She was judged so harshly for leaving them, but she just couldn't stay. She couldn't. And I get it. And, you know, she was a farm wife, and it's like the way that she is now, like she did have a relationship after that, at least one I know of, that wasn't the healthiest. But then she had her brain aneurysm and just rebuilt her life from zero. She almost died, and she had to learn to walk again and talk again. And she has this, her place is so zen. It's such a relaxing space. She really works hard at her spirituality, and I just think sometimes about how hard that must have been to leave her kids and her husband, and just because she knew it wasn't right for her, but she was right. And would she have chosen to live through that aneurysm had she stayed? I don't know. She's been through some incredible things, unbelievable challenges. She's been true to herself. My friend Doc, that has Alzheimer's, that I used to take care of, she's in DC now. I was able to visit her when I was traveling. She'd been a therapist, psychotherapist, psychoanalyst for over 60 years. She worked into her 80s until she had to stop because of the Alzheimer's. And she always said, to thine own self be true. She used to know the whole soliloquy, but she would say it often still with the Alzheimer's. And, you know, I was struggling with this, these conflicted feelings back then. I don't know what to do, but I can't figure it out right now. I just have to take care of myself and take care of him and just keep moving forward. Meditate, journal, breathe, juice, walk. I need to get out there and walk in the mornings. Start the day right. Start the day with something for myself first. I never wanted to be a nurse. But we're making it work. We're getting through this. But how am I going to feel when he does start to get better and he goes and hangs out with his friends and has some beers and probably some pizza and, you know, the pain comes back? Like, how is that not going to happen? I know him. I don't know. People surprise you, though, I guess. It's possible he'll change. But if he was going to, why wouldn't he just go raw vegan with me so that we could have some fun with this? And he doesn't, he's so short-sighted when it comes to this, but he hasn't, again, he hasn't listened to all the interviews and watched all the videos and read the books and listened to the podcasts and the audiobooks about like how much your life changes on raw. He has a very limited view of it. He thinks it's just about changing your food and keeping your body from deteriorating. I think that's all he thinks it is. I don't know. It affects me, though. I told him the other day, like, your choices are affecting both of us. I mean, just like my choices affect both of us. And then I think, well, my choice to be angry yesterday and today, apparently, affects both of us. Was it a choice? I don't know. It felt like a tidal wave of feelings. But the feelings are coming from the thoughts, and the thoughts are thoughts that I'm choosing to have. So I need to choose new thoughts. I need to choose better thoughts. I need to make the gratitude list. All right, I'm going to go do these things. Thank you for listening. You could have done a lot. Been almost an hour. You've been sitting here with me if you're still listening. You could have done a lot. Maybe you got something out of this. Maybe you're in a similar situation. I hope there was something good in this for you. For me, it was just having a place to express all of these feelings. And hey, I'm still juicing. I'm still raw. Day 21. I didn't know I could do this. I wasn't sure I could do this. I don't know how long I can do this. I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm gonna stay away from food videos. Just because they pop up in my feed doesn't mean I need to click on them. I've never watched recipe videos, really. Like cooked food stuff, like rarely. Why would I, you know? But I have been lately, the last couple days. Thank God Jillian Barry talks about this in one of her videos about how she started watching like food videos and stuff that she hadn't eaten in years when she was juice fasting, and started thinking like, why am I even doing raw? Like, what is the point? Like, because when you watch that stuff, you do think like, how can I ever give up like this? Or I'm never gonna have this again. Like, it just really starts a bad cascade of thoughts. Just a domino effect. So yeah, best not to click on them at all. But your brain wants it. It wants that dopamine rush. And then, you know, after watching the videos, you want to eat things you shouldn't. And I mean, I can't do that. You know, you have to be really careful about how you break a juice fast. So, I'm well aware. All right, I'm going to go do all the healthy things that I said. I'm going to go for a walk. I am going to drink my juice. I am going to journal. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to do some deep breathing. Thank you for listening. I love you guys. Have an excellent day. You can do it. Whatever you're struggling with, you're going to get through it. I know you are.